WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump traveled to the Middle East today, declaring an end to the war in Gaza.
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
He stopped first in Israel and then traveled to Egypt to meet with world leaders to set in motion the next phases of the agreement. CBS's Sam Vinograd.
This is an incredible day. Even if everything stopped here, we have the last remaining living hostages home, remains of many others home. We have more aid flowing into Gaza, and for the first time in almost 2 years, we have a ceasefire holding.
Former Special Envoy Roger Karsten says there are still difficult issues to work out.
You might just say right now we have a hostage deal, not really a peace deal, a hostage deal. The peace deal happens as we progress, figure out some of the bigger questions on how the demilitarization is going to go, how we're going to flood Gaza with humanitarian assistance, etc.
It still isn't clear who will govern Gaza. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Another Democrat is looking to win the 8th Congressional District seat next door, Lisa Hale reports.
Benjamin Ben Hable wants to see more representation for people like themselves in government. So Hable, 41, who self-describes as a young, disabled, gender-fluid person, is running as a Democrat for the 8th Congressional District.
I am running to represent underrepresented people, because when those people are put into Congress, into positions of power, they actually make differences and changes for all. They don't think about just their group. They think about all groups.
Hable, a former engineer who lives in Burnham Wood, a small village in Shawnee and Marathon counties, believes they are qualified to represent the 8th Congressional District.
There's only two qualifications. You have to be 25 and you have to be a U.S. citizen. You're also not supposed to be a felon, but, you know, apparently that can slide for some people.
In addition to diversity, Hable also thinks universal health care is needed in the U.S. But he said the most pressing issue in the 8th Congressional District is the apathy of young voters.
I think the 8th needs what all districts needs, and that's a lot more youth involvement. You hear it from every generation. There needs to be more youth involvement. Like, it sucks when millennials and Gen Z say that and then they don't get involved, but there's a lot of times that we feel pushed out and not wanted.
Hable faces opposition in the Democratic primary from Appleton businessman Mark Scheffler and Rick Crossan, a former Green Bay Area Public School District board member, who announced their campaigns in August. The winner of the Democratic primary on August 11th, 2026, will face 8th CD incumbent Tony Weed.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoot's getting downhill a lot. Cole is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. Currently it's 66.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew and the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is finally Monday, folks. We get to get together and talk about all the things we love to talk about. The things that bring people together, right? Showbiz, movies, TV, comedy, music, and Conrad's favorite, dance.
Well, dance in the end zone.
Dance in the end zone. Have you ever danced in the end zone?
I wish I could say I have.
I should clarify that and say after a touchdown, not just gone in the end zone and dance like a maniac.
You know? Well, you know, they don't let you celebrate in high school football.
Is that true?
Yeah. But also, I never got a touchdown in high school football.
Take all the fun out of it. You never got a touchdown as a fullback? You were a fullback, right?
Yeah, but I didn't. Okay. I was a second string fullback.
Yeah.
So the play time there wasn't, you know, I got one snap for 7 yards.
All right. That's a pretty good average.
And then the next play, I ran the wrong way. And then it was a running back play, you know. And I went the wrong way to block for him. And he still got a touchdown, though. He ran like 40 or 45 yards or something like that.
We'll be back right after this. I've got to get Conrad I'm talking to. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with more fullback talk after this. Well, it sounds like it worked out anyway. That's pretty good. Despite your failings or your misdirect.
I think the thing I made a mistake on is telling the coach I made a mistake.
He wouldn't have noticed. It's a heck of a coach. Well, I have a great show for you guys tonight. We are very excited to have you with us. It's going to be a fun night here. We've got two great guests. Jamie McShane starts us off at 6:35. He is one of the stars of the show Task on HBO. It is a really, really good show. A great cast. Mark Ruffalo, Martha Plimpton, Tom Pelfrey, I think I'm saying his name right, plays one of the main actors too. Just a really good actor. I have not seen this guy before, but and then Jamie, our pal, who's a friend of Nightlight and a very good friend of mine, will be here. He plays the main bad guy, Perry, and he's excellent. And last night's episode, he and Mark Ruffalo had a scuffle in a cabin, and it was great. It was a great fight scene. So I'm excited to talk to Jamie about that. If you're interested in catching up on Task, folks, you can catch up. The season finale will be this coming weekend. So you got 6 episodes. The 7th and final episode, I believe, is this weekend. So we will try not to spoil anything tonight, but it will be great to have Jamie here at 6:35. And then at 7:20, my pal Mike Toomey swings by. I was just a guest on Mike's show called Laugh Tracks that he films in Chicago, where he has comedians on. And Mike is also one of the co-hosts of the WGN Morning Show. And a very, very funny comedian, a big influence on me back when I started. And he is an outstanding fellow and a great comic and a good guy. So he will be here at 7:20. Mike and I are going to list our top 5 favorite stand-up comics of all time. Conrad, you're welcome to get in on that if you want to make a list throughout the show.
Peach Wawa.
We could, well, Natch. So actually, I'm going to say to Mike, none of our friends, no peers, but that wouldn't apply to you, Conrad, but you could do whoever you want, but like, yeah. I wouldn't want to like insult Mike by leaving him off the list, mostly because I wouldn't, but I know I'm not on his list, so I want to avoid that awkwardness. Now, I know I make Mike laugh hard off stage, which is not the best for a stand-up comic, but anyway, Mike will be here at 7:20 and we'll have a great fun talk about stand-up comedians. And some sad news over the weekend. Diane Keaton died. She was the star of like 100 movies and an Oscar winner. And she is the subject of our, let's just do this now, Con. Let's get things going. This is our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The phone lines are open, by the way, folks. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream, you could drop us a stream comment, and we will read it on the radio. This is a good one, because Diane Keaton, we did Matt Damon last week, and he's fine. Matt Damon's a good actor. I like a lot of his movies, but Diane Keaton is one of those Hollywood icons that has passed away. It's like the end of an era. She was 79 and just a real authentic human being. She chose never to marry, but she dated a lot of her co-stars, including Woody Allen, Warren Beatty, Al Pacino. She adopted two kids. She a lot of times played herself, like kind of like in the sense that Chevy Chase is always Chevy Chase. In many films, she was Diane Keaton. And the Annie Hall role was written for her by Woody Allen. And she won an Oscar for it. She won an Oscar for basically, and a Golden Globe, for basically playing herself. But she was so great. My favorite movie of Diane Keaton's, I'll go first, is Annie Hall, for which she won the Oscar. And there's a great line where Woody Allen is kind of courting her, and he says that he has to go to therapy, and she says, oh, you see a therapist? And he goes, yeah, just for 14 years. And then a few minutes later, he makes a joke about penis envy and says, I'm one of the few males that has that. And Diane Keaton just kind of does that Diane Keaton laugh and says, oh, 14 years, huh? Very funny. And she was so good in Annie Hall. You just kind of fell in love with her. It even made me like Woody Allen even more. I already liked Woody Allen as a stand-up. But that's my all-time favorite Diane Keaton film. So let me know yours. Drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. Drop us a comment there and give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. And drop us a comment on the app or at 855-752-4842. Con, you got a favorite Diane Keaton movie?
I haven't seen a lot of her movies, yeah. But I'd say either Godfather or Father of the Bride.
Yeah, Father of the Bride, she was great.
Yeah, I think that's just a funny movie, so I like that.
It's interesting. I meant to say this before. The Godfather is actually my second favorite Diane Keaton role. I really liked her. One of my wife's favorite movies is Baby Boom. She was really good in that. But I like, in The Godfather, she played a totally different role. Like I said before, she kind of plays the same role often, and she's really good at it. But in The Godfather, when she played Michael Corleone's wife, Kay, she was just totally different. And it showed her range as an actor. She was really good as kind of a, you know, certainly a verbally abused wife. Michael Corleone was kind of a real jerk, obviously. And she was it was just great. It just showed her range. She was a really good actress. Father of the Bride is great, too. Looking for Mr. Goodbar is one that put her on the map. She starred in that film. She was a teacher that practiced risky behavior with Richard Gere. I want to say that was Richard Gere's first, maybe not first role, but kind of a breakout role for him. Kind of a different movie, though, but she was great in that, too. She will be missed. So let us know your favorite Diane Keaton film, folks, and we will we'll have a discussion like we often do here at Nightlight. I have to give congratulations to all the Brewer fans for beating my Cubs on Saturday. I will say that was, I wouldn't say the most exciting game.
Stressful game.
For you.
Yes.
Isn't it funny how, like, I wasn't really expecting the Cubs to win, but when they went down 3-1, I just didn't feel great that they were going to come back. However, if they were winning 3-1, I would have been a nervous wreck. Because somehow when you have a 1 or 2 run lead, it's very stressful in the playoffs. You get that one base runner on and it's like, oh no. But I don't know. That was like the perfect game to see your team lose because it just wasn't that exciting. I wasn't losing my mind or anything. It was just like, they just didn't have it, you know. But congrats to the Brewers. They look great.
Yeah, I'm excited for the series against the Dodgers.
You got a favorite in that one, Con? I know you're going to say the Dodgers are probably going to win. And...
Well, you know, we did sweep the Dodgers in the regular season. So, but
you
I
swept
know
them?
Yeah. They didn't.
When you say we,
them.
You mean you and the Brewers.
I'm part of the team, all right?
I always make fun of people for saying that, but I do it too. It's fun.
I would say it's definitely not going to be a sweep. It's the Dodgers in the playoffs. They're really hot right now. So
did they win last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're the defending champs. So they've got that experience. They might be a little more relaxed, but I feel like based on what little reading I've done, the Brewers are a little more well-rounded. Very well managed.
Yeah. You know. It's really cool to see the Brewers win a playoff series in seven years. So I'm happy.
No, it's a good one. It's good. So good luck, Brewer fans. It's exciting. It would be a great thing for Wisconsin if they kept rolling through the playoffs. Great thing for Milwaukee, too.
Oh, well, how about we go to the Madison? And
good Lord. You know what sucks about the Badgers? Like, I said this to friends. I'm in a text group with my brother and a couple friends. Indiana is for real. Like, they went into Oregon, ranked behind them, and dominated them.
They look good.
And it's like, and not dominated, but it was a good, solid win. And that's where I thought the Badgers would be after 3 years under Luke Fickle.
That's the same thing I thought, too.
I mean, I just don't get it. And I have a friend that says, well, they don't have the players. I'm like, well, part of that's on Fickle, too.
It's not all Fickle's fault, but most of the blame, I think, goes on him right now.
It's just so depressing. It's like my Saturday, whatever. I don't have to. I'm still going to watch just to see how the game goes, but I'm going to bail immediately.
I watched one drive. So really? All right, that's done because he threw an interception instantly.
It's just depressing, you know, but whatever. There are real problems in the world, too.
Yeah,
but
I guess,
it's a bummer.
Yeah.
This is National Native American Day, so if you have Native American blood, happy National Native American Day. It is also, I want to get this right, I don't want to misspeak, it's National No Bra Day.
Okay.
Which is a big...
Like no bra?
No, not bruh, bra, which I'm not wearing a bra myself in honor of all the no bras out there, but that's one of my favorite holidays. Aside from, it's right after Christmas and Thanksgiving. And Arbor Day is No Bra Day. I like to celebrate by not wearing a bra. So happy No Bra Day to everybody as well, if you're listening. A lot of big releases on this day, too. All About Eve, 1950. And two very binge-watchable shows. Goliath in 2016 with Billy Bob Thornton. Season one, really enjoyed it. He's this lawyer bringing a class action suit, and he lives in this hotel in Santa Monica. He has like three rooms and he, you know, knocked out the walls or whatever. And that's his living space. Great setting, but a pretty good show. And then Mindhunter in 2017. And I think it's like a show about the first FBI profiler. Two very binge watchable shows. So check those out. I finally got through, by the way, there was almost a swear word on the show sheet today. Cause I was typing it as using voice and then I was playing video poker.
Oh.
And I said F blank F when I lost with a full house to a better full house. That was almost on the show sheet. But that doesn't go out to the public. And I'm going to talk about a movie tonight, folks, that I watched. I have to admit, I slogged through it. Friendship. I didn't love it. A couple really funny parts. But we'll talk about that, too. I don't know if you saw this Tim Robinson movie, but it was had some good parts. I didn't love it. I was expecting to love it. The lovable Paul Rudd is in it. But our question of the night, folks, what's your favorite Diane Keaton movie? She passed away over the weekend at the age of 79. I say Annie Hall. Close second is The Godfather. I feel like it shows Diane Keaton's range as an actor. Two very different roles. Loved her. When we come back, we'll read some of your texts, and we're going to tell you about a new show Conrad watched, too. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster and myself as we talk high school football. We'll review week number 8 of the season, preview week number 9, and preview level 1 playoffs in 8-player football, plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Braden Mitchell, the D.C. Everest football coach, after the Evergreens clinched at least a share of the Wisconsin Valley Conference title with their win at Stevens Point last week. Then at 7:06 is our student-athlete guest from Wausau West, running back Cooper DePoint. DePoint had more than 260 yards rushing in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire Memorial last week. It's the Big High School Sports Show, Wednesday, 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Yeah. All night long, and nobody don't dance on the edge of the dock. We've got the radio on.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me tonight, folks. On this Monday, it's finally Monday. I love Mondays. We finally get to talk about showbiz, baby. Coming up at 6:35, one of the stars of the hit HBO show Task will be here, Jamie McShane. He's been on the show before. Jamie is a phenomenal actor, and he plays the head honcho bad guy on Task. And it's a really good show. And his episode last night, really the last 2 weeks, I would say, he kind of stole the show. He had a great fight scene with Mark Ruffalo. And then a scene the previous week, which was pretty dark and really just really amazing. Phenomenal actor. Mike Toomey will be here at 7:20. One of my oldest friends from the comedy biz. Mike and I are going to list our top 5 stand-up comics of all time. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Diane Keaton passed away over the weekend at the age of 79. I say Annie Hall. She won an Oscar. And for those of you keeping track, fun fact, Annie's character in Annie Hall was from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Do we still have that clip of Christopher Walken, Con, where he plays her younger brother?
He's
talking about steering into oncoming traffic and these crazy visions he has. And then he's asked to take Annie and Woody Allen to the airport. Woody Allen's just like freaking out. It's one of the best scenes ever. Here's another fun fact. Christopher Walken's name in Annie Hall in the credits is misspelled. That might have been his first movie role or one of his first, and he just had a bit part, but talk about that. I mean, a legend. And his name is spelled wrong in the credits. That's crazy. So I was talking about this film, Friendship, that I saw. Tim Robinson, he's got his own brand of comedy. Very well respected, I would say, within comedy circles. Paul Rudd is also in the film. It's very awkward, kind of a cringe comedy. But I love cringe comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like he was just kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was beyond cringe. It was just kind of like, why would anybody give this guy the time of day, like, when he's just kind of a jackass, you know? I don't know.
I totally agree. I mean, the movie I thought was a little bit more funny than I think you're thinking.
Yeah.
I think some of the moments that really made me cringe were just like part of the, how I like the movie. I don't know.
Listen, I mean, him talking his wife into going into the sewers with him and then losing her.
That was so funny.
This big town. They have to rescue his wife and she's gone for like days in the sewer. Very funny. But I don't know. It's just like the laughs that were there were great, but it was just kind of like, I watched it in three sittings. It just didn't really hold my interest that much. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. But I thought it was okay. Paul Rudd always, he plays Paul Rudd and everything, but he's funny. He does a great job. So that's Friendship. And then you were going to tell me about his new show.
Yeah, it's called The Chair Company. And it came out last night. And it's actually the same wife that he has in Friendship who plays his wife in this.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like he's a project manager for this new mall. And he's talking about it on stage, and he goes off right and sits in a chair, and the chair breaks. Like when he's on stage, and all of his friends and everyone are around, and they start laughing at him. So you can imagine what he does as Tim Robinson in that. He gets... he tries to find this chair company that made the chair, and he can't find the company.
Oh, that's funny.
He goes onto the website trying to find the help, you know, the help
right.
line or whatever.
I've gone down that rabbit hole.
And there's no one that can help him. And then he finds an address.
All right.
On a chair that he took a picture of a while ago. And he goes to this location. It's super mysterious. But the dumbest thing about it is that he had a devil's egg before that.
Possibly the grossest food ever created.
In the opening scene, he's like, I want to... It's just one deviled egg. He says, I'll have a box for this. And they're like, you won't eat this. 3 days later, he eats it, and his stomach starts... So while he's in this mysterious place, he has to go to the bathroom.
That's great.
Goes to the bathroom, and then someone...
No spoilers, though.
And this isn't too much spoiler. I mean, like, there's so much else that goes on to it, but I'll leave it at that. I thought it was weird and funny and just, like, I'm kind of curious how to see where this goes.
I'll check it out based on that recommendation. I will. I had an interesting story very similar to that. I was in a green room. When I first moved to L.A., I got booked in this pilot called Laugh Tracks, interestingly enough, because Mike Toomey's show is called Laugh Tracks. With Jim Gaffigan, and we were sitting in the green room, and I ate a bagel with cream cheese, and the cream cheese was like 2 weeks old.
Oh, no.
And I had to literally sprint to the bathroom, throw my microphone off, my lav mic, you know, during the taping, and I got back. I was in there for like 20 minutes, and Gaffigan goes, you know, we could hear you.
No way.
Well, I knew I took the mic off, but I still kind of panicked, because, you know, you never, that's just my, and I always feel like I do dumb stuff all the time. So I thought, but he really got me there. I you know, whatever. They hear me. There have been worse things captured on microphones from actors or actresses going to the bathroom. Throughout the show, folks, we're going to tell you at some point, there's this new show on Netflix called Monster, the Ed Gein Story. And Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin, who travels the state with great tidbits and food tips and all kinds of fun historical stuff. He went to Ed Gein's hometown, and he gave us a little report, not just us, but everyone on Facebook, and we're going to play that for you a little later. Compliments of Wonderfully Wisconsin. Paul does great work there, and we got to have him back on because he's got to be getting close on his hamburger list. Wasn't he counting down like 100 hamburgers or something like that?
I saw recently he went to 11-11 in Fond du Lac.
Hamburger place?
That place is great.
Okay. All right, very cool. Well, our question of the night, folks, what is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Let us know. Phone lines are open, but in just a few minutes after the news, I'm very excited to have Jamie McShane here, one of the stars of the hit show Task on HBO. The season finale, I believe, is coming up this weekend. So you've got time to catch up. There's only 6 episodes, and they're all fantastic. It's a great show. We'll talk to Jamie after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on air.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce granted their Athena Award to the president of a Rothschild company. Laura Streck was named the recipient of the award at the first Excellence in Business Leadership Awards night last Thursday. The award recognizes recipients for their professional excellence, community service, and for actively assisting women in attaining professional excellence and leadership skills. In a statement, Streck says the award is a reflection of the people around her. This is the 40th year of the Athena Leadership Award. The village of Kronenwetter is seeking a new president. The position was left vacant after the sudden departure of David Baker. Baker's resignation comes just months after his election in April. His term runs through 2027. In an email obtained by WSAW, Baker resigned effective Thursday and couldn't discuss it that day. He also asked the village clerk to add an item to today's village board agenda regarding finding his replacement. The village board will now appoint a new president through an application process, and those interested in filling the open seat can submit an application until 10 a.m. on Friday, November 7th. The city of Weston is seeking public input on their bicycle and pedestrian master plan. WSAW reports the village will use a grant from the State Department of Transportation to identify gaps in their bike and pedestrian network. The village has a public survey available, asking people to contribute ideas and possible changes they could make, including where the village should connect trails or sidewalks with other municipalities, safety features, ADA accessible additions, and other factors. The survey is available at westonwi.gov. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. Currently at 64 degrees.
On Saturday, the Newman Catholic High School football team opens up the playoffs, traveling to Frederick for a level one matchup. Hear all the exciting action live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. Newman Catholic High School football is brought to you by the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrial and the Wausau Business Show, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Newman Catholic at Frederick in an 8-player football WIAA Level 1 playoff. Saturday, live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 1 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
This is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down on the night shift.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight coming up at 7:20. Some comedy talk with my pal Mike Toomey. We're going to break down our top five favorite comics of all time. Our question of the night is in honor of Diane Keaton's passing over the weekend. What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show a good friend of mine who also just happens to be a fantastic actor, and he is one of the stars of Task on HBO, Mr. Jamie McShane. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
I'm just I'm impressed that you want to come back after the way the last two things went. So,
well, I didn't say I wanted to come back. I just appreciate being back.
It helps to have a little dirt on you. I'm not going to lie. It's good to see you, buddy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks very much. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing very well. I get to talk about things I love to talk about every night and have pals like you on the show. So it is great to have you here. Do you have, before we get into Task, do you have a favorite Diane Keaton movie?
Yeah, Heather and I were talking about it. Mrs. Sofel.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That was with Mel Gibson. It was based on a true story that she helps these two brothers escape from a prison. It was a beautiful film. I have to watch it again because it'd been a while, but I remember really loving it.
Oh, that's great. Did you see Annie Hall?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, that was such an iconic role for her.
Yeah, she's great. So let's jump right in. I want to say the last time you were here, or maybe it was two times ago, you were talking about this show you did, and you said it's the best show you've ever been a part of, which got me excited, A, to talk to you about it, but B, also to watch the show. I've been watching Task, and I just, it's so great. It like the first episode was great, but it builds every week. And it just it's getting so intense, and there's one episode left. But how is it watching it? Like, when you said it was the best thing you've ever been a part of, and now you're getting to watch it, did that hold up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say even more so. You know, because you read it, you film it, and then you forget things. And then there's scenes that I read, but I wasn't a part of, and you get to watch that. And I think, you know, everyone on the show is so good. I'm fortunate to be in it. And Tom Pelfrey, who plays Robbie, is just, he's just mesmerizing in the show, you know?
He's really good. Where is he from, James?
Jersey boy. He's a Jersey boy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he started actually in soaps years and years and years ago. And then I worked with him on Mank. He played, He played Mank's brother, Joseph Mankiewicz, you know, Gary Oldman's brother. And then he had a big run on Ozarks.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a great guy, wonderful actor.
It's so great because, you know, I remember going to Pennsylvania years and years ago when I did stand-up, and I love that Pennsylvania accent. And he nailed it. I thought, man, and he, yeah, you know, with the ponytail he's got, I didn't recognize him. And I'm like, this is just a guy they pulled out of a shot in a beer bar. And he can act, you know what I mean? Like, he's that much, and he's like, you going down to the park, like that Pennsylvania accent. Yeah, he's great. Obviously, Mark Ruffalo, we claim him as one of our own because he was born in Wisconsin. I think he left when he was 6 months old. But it doesn't matter, Jamie. He's a Wisconsinite.
I'll tell him that.
Martha Plimpton. And so you got a great cast. Talk about that scene last night. You play Perry, the head of the
Dark Hearts Motorcycle Club.
Dark Hearts Motorcycle Club. And you're a pretty bad guy. That's got to be so fun. But the fight last night that aired between you and Ruffalo in the cabin, how fun was that to shoot?
It was fun. We rehearsed it, and they really weighed into it. You know, Mark's a really good wrestler. He did wrestling, you know, in school when he was young. And then he did that movie Foxcatcher, where he played the wrestling coach. It was a true story about DuPont, I think. What's his name from The Office? Steve Carell was in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great movie. Mark was amazing. So the stunt guy, Justin Reamer, he knew that Mark could wrestle, and it works for his character to bring in some of that, whereas I'm just a straight-out brawler.
Yeah.
And then we were rehearsing on what to do and this and that. And at one point, Mark is choking me out. And I said to the Mark and Justin, I said, can I bite him? And Mark's like, yeah. And Justin's like, yeah. And the director's like, yeah. So I bite him, and that just sets him off. And Mark got hurt in that scene. On one take early on, they moved some of the, I don't know, some bookshelf or something that wasn't there, or that was there, that I throw him into. And then when I threw him this second time, he expected to brace into the bookshelf or whatever it was, I don't remember, and it wasn't there, so he went further back and he nailed his head.
Oh man.
And he cut it open. I think he had to get stitches. I think he wound up having a concussion, but he went through the whole thing. It was great.
It's very similar to Mare from Easttown.
Mare of Easttown.
It's very realistic. Like, I love that, you know, Ruffalo leads this task force, Tom, and he's just a regular guy, though. He's not a superhero. Like, he kind of gets his ass kicked a couple times in the show. And then with you, finally, I'm like, all right, finally, he looks like a guy who can defend himself, at least, because you guys had this really great head-to-head. But I understand he ate a lot of Philly cheesesteaks to put on a few pounds. Like, he looks like a real guy. And this is the same guy that played Detective Fanning in Collateral, where he was kind of a badass. Like, does that elevate your game when you act opposite a guy like that? Just like I'm sure you elevate his game.
Well, thank you. I don't know about that. But yeah, definitely. I mean, but everyone on the show, Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, you know, my kind of underling.
Yeah.
He was fantastic to work with. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. But yes, it does elevate your game when you get to work with people that are that good, and you know they're that good. Like, you know them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Or of them.
Sure. My guest is Jamie McShane. He is one of the stars of the hit HBO show Task, and he's got many other great credits. Check out his work. If you go to IMDb, folks, you can lose yourself in Jamie's resume. He's been part of a lot of great projects. What I always find it interesting when someone like you, who's worked so hard and you didn't start acting till you were an adult, and then you're opposite someone like Martha Plimpton, who was kind of a younger actor. She was like a child actor. Mm-hmm. I think she's in The Goonies. Is that kind of surreal when you get to the set and you're like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, someone I watched when I was going to the cinema when I was 14, you know?
Yeah, it is, especially even, yeah, it is. And when I worked with Gary Oldman years ago, that was kind of that too, where you're like, oh my God, this is someone I've looked up to, and you're like, holy mackerel, I get to be on screen with them, you know?
Yeah.
And Martha's great. She's a hoot. And she was wonderful in Task. I think it's one of the best things I've seen her do.
Yeah, she's really good. And the writing is so good. Like, there's so many misdirects where you think you got it figured out, and then they keep you guessing. And I like that it breathes a little bit. It's not wall-to-wall action, and it's not boring. It's like the perfect, and Mare was like that too. It's like the perfect combination. It's just great storytelling. So for you as an actor, what was it about Perry that like just made you go, I got to play this role?
Ironically, I helped a friend of mine audition for the role of Jason the week before. And he said, you know, you'd be great for this Perry role. And I thought, all right, I don't know. We'll see, you know, see if anything happens. Then a week later, I had the audition. So I went back to my friend and he auditioned me. We just kind of turned the camera the other way. And I felt, at first, I didn't think I was big enough to play this big, you know, motorcycle dude. And then I thought, well, Gary Oldman would nail this and Willem Dafoe would nail it. And they're, you know, they're not, Willem's a much smaller dude. But I've worked with both of them, not that I'm at that level, but I'm like, what would they do that? And they would just sell it. They would. So for me, I thought Perry's he's a little crazy and he moves kind of funny. And it really helped me develop the character. And then Sam Keeley, who plays Jason, one day I expressed to him, I don't know if I'm big enough before we shoot. And he goes, no, Jamie McShane. He goes, I am a sledgehammer. I come in, I bust everything down. You are Blade. He goes, you talk to someone, and all of a sudden they look down, and their belly's cut open, and they're dying. And I thought that was pretty fun.
Well, and there's
rolled with that.
And without doing a spoiler, yeah, no, you just got to check out the show. Is he Irish?
Yeah, yeah, he's from Tullamore, where Tullamore Dew, the whiskey's from.
Buddy, we've shared a few bottles of that. We've shared some Tullamore Dew over the years, you and I.
Yeah.
That's great. He is excellent too. I think this is the first thing I've seen him in. But do you like Jamie? You've played all kinds of roles, but playing a role like Perry, what's that like? I mean, is that I feel like a fanboy here, but that must have been so. It must be great to play where you get to be this total badass and maybe bring out your own badassery in doing so.
Yeah, you know, Brad Inglesby, who wrote both Mare and Task. Every character he writes is so layered. They're so rich, and they, within such a limited time, you know, it's like he creates these characters like from novels, and you learn about them quickly, all of them. So to get to play one of his characters is amazing because they're so well written. And then for me, Perry especially, it was just like, it just fit, you know, and I had so much fun playing it, and it was great.
You definitely have that side to you. Just with our kids at the park, you scared me a few times. Just like, all right. Again, here's my last fanboy question, and you are my friend. But has there been any talk from the show or your reps or anything about possible Emmy nominations? I mean, it's such a hit show. You've got such a high profile on the show.
For the show itself, do you mean?
Well, or for your role as like a supporting actor.
You know, there's always hope. There has been, you know. The idea has been thrown around. I don't know what that means exactly. It's also, you know, the Emmys aren't for another year at this point, but hopefully there's some award shows earlier on, like Critics' Choice and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Globes that, you know, I think the show Tom Pelfrey, Ruffalo will definitely get some looks, and some of the other actors and actresses. And hopefully I end up in that boat.
Yeah, it's got to be tough when you have such a great ensemble. You know what I mean? Like you're just surrounded by great talent. But that's exciting. Okay. So without no spoilers, the finale is this weekend, correct? Oh, did we lose Jamie? Oh, there he is. Do we have you back, buddy?
There we go. I'm back.
Yeah, cool. So, the season finale is this weekend. No spoilers or anything, but, what can you like give us a hint of what's to come, or is it, you probably can't say anything?
I'm not telling you anything.
Look, I'm trying to get people to the damn show, Jamie, to sit in front of their TV.
Watch the show, and it is a great, it's a great show. It's the greatest thing I've ever gotten to work on, and Bloodline was pretty amazing for me, and this is the first one to surpass it. It's an incredible show, so please tune in.
And absolutely, folks, check out all six episodes. You have time before next weekend, and I would say episode 5, was that your favorite to shoot so far, without saying what happens exactly? You take a pretty dark 4, turn there.
I think 4.
What was it, 4? Okay.
4, I had a lot of fun scenes and kind of revelations, and it was a very layered, very very packed episode for Perry.
Yeah.
5 was amazing also.
All right, so but start with 1, folks. The whole show is great top to bottom. We're going to do a very short break. We'll come back. We'll have a few more minutes with our pal Jamie McShane. I want to ask you about 1923 too, because I really enjoyed you in that too, and another great show. But we'll be right back with the one of the stars of the hit show Task, Jamie McShane, on Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We're coming right back.
Let you know, girl, you're looking cool. You're out of sight. All right, just move yourself and glide like the 747, and you lose yourself in the sky.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team wraps up the regular season, traveling to River Falls to take on the 7-1 Wildcats. Hear all the action live from the Culver Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Clover Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau West at River Falls in high school football. Live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Dave on the stream says, Baby Boom. It's a great fantasy. That's one of my wife's favorite Diane Keaton movies, too, Dave. That's a good one. And PJ says, the Godfather movies. Jamie, you know, as an actor, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I said this about Diane Keaton before. Like, I loved her in Annie Hall, but she's one of those actors that always kind of played herself a little bit or some derivation of that. But in the Godfather movies, she was so different and just sort of docile and... I thought it really showed her range kind of because it was such a different role. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but.
Yeah, I think she was so new too. I don't know what she had done before that. And she was so kind of not plain, but very, I guess docile's the right word. Just very sweet without much of an edge or not a spark, but you know, she was just kind of calmer.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, to me, it was like you saw a different side of her. She kind of became iconic playing that kind of, you know, not neurotic, but like just how her persona was. And it was very funny and entertaining, but like she obviously was just a very good actor too. So, all right, I kind of, there's an old saying in show business, never open with a showstopper. And I kind of did that by talking about Task first, and now I'm going to 1923. But you were very good in that too. Your role wasn't as big, but yet another bad guy.
He was horrible.
He was a bad dude. But what was it like? Like, that was for Taylor Sheridan. You were out shooting, riding horses. What a fun role that must have been, too.
No, it was a blast. I got to do a couple episodes in season one, and then he wrote a lot more for me in season two. And when you work for Taylor on the Westerns, they fly you out like a week or so, 10 days earlier. And they train you at cowboy camp. Like, they make sure you learn to ride as best you can.
Oh, wow.
And they give you, like, brand new pair of boots to ride in and a hat, and they suit you up. And it's a blast. I mean, it was just a blast. You wind up riding every day, usually with a bunch of other guys. or girls, and it's like being a kid and getting paid for it.
Is it like the scene in Blazing Saddles where they're sitting around the fire eating beans? Is it any? Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it was mostly like that. Yeah, it was mostly like that, but from the saddle itself, not sitting around. We were actually on the saddle, and it was usually when you were trotting.
Oh, very well said. Very tactful. That was great. Who are some of your favorite actors to watch? Like, you know, I know you had influences. Last time you were here, we talked about Gene Hackman and how much we both love Gene Hackman. And he passed away, ironically, just a few days later. But do you have people right now that you just like when you're flipping around the dial, it's like you can't turn that off because you're such a huge fan?
Well, Gary Oldman. I mean, yeah, it's just top notch on that. Sam Rockwell, I find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
have you worked with him?
People. No, I never have gotten to.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gary,
a bunch out there.
Gary Oldman is. Do you watch Slow Horses?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Love that show.
Yeah,
he's so great, and I, you know, he's one of those guys who's such a serious actor that I expect him to be so serious or sort of dark when he's in interviews, but he's so funny. And he's so much fun. Like, the guy has a great sense of humor, you know.
He is. And in person, he's wonderful.
Is he?
He's a hoot. Yeah. Oh, God, he's fun. He's funny. He's fun. He's so approachable. He's great. I loved working with him.
What about actresses? Is there someone out there you'd love to work with that you haven't yet, or someone you've already worked with that you just think the world of?
I worked with Holly Hunter a little bit. I thought the world of her. Viola Davis. Viola Davis was wonderful. I got to work with her. I mean, I think the list is too long to say who I would love to work with, but there's a lot of them.
What about a role? What about a role? Like, you're so good at doing the bad guy, James, but, like, you know, is there a role that you want to, would you like to play the hero or the savior somehow, or like a cop or a someone who's going through a trans issue, like some crazy role that, you know, is really pushes you? Is there some role out there like that that's evaded you or that you've
probably? I'm waiting for you to write it.
Conrad, I would love to.
I would love to. Yeah, I'd love to play all those things. Cops, I've played a lot of cops.
Yeah.
You know, different dirty cop or clean cop. I played on Southland, one of the few shows in a while where I played a really good guy, you know, and that was a blast on that show. I loved it. Another great show.
That was I can't remember who we had on. It might have been Glenn Morshower who said, or it was someone that said the Southland was the most authentic cop show they had ever seen. And I still haven't even seen it, so I gotta check it out.
It's great.
Well, thanks again, buddy. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, are you binge watching anything that doesn't have Jamie McShane in it or something that does? What could you recommend?
Well, we started the Ed Gein thing with Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, yeah.
So we've been watching that. And then I think that's the latest one, because I was back in Jersey for a while for some family stuff. And my mother has very limited television. So Heather waits for me to get back to binge stuff together.
She doesn't Netflix cheat. That's a big thing. Like, it's hard to wait for your partner to actually watch the shows and not go ahead.
She'll watch stuff she knows I don't want to watch.
All right, that's good.
So it's fair enough.
You worked with him, too, on Sons of Anarchy, which must have been cool, with Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie, he's a sweetheart. He's great. He's a wonderful guy. Very, very gentle person, despite the badass he plays, and very kind.
Yeah.
Very kind.
Well, dude, you keep somehow ending up in these shows surrounded by great actors, and I think a lot of that you could attribute to yourself as well. You're in these great circles, and likeness attracts, so keep up the great work. We're watching, and I everything you do, I just love.
Pete, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me back, and I do love coming on your show here.
Thank you, buddy. Despite not liking me personally, I appreciate you coming on.
No, that has nothing to do with it. The show is wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so surprised you're actually the host.
Hey, don't say, Conrad, cut that out of the podcast.
Buddy, right. I love you. You're a dear friend.
You too. Love you too, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Jamie McShane, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Task. It is really a good show. And if you liked Mayor of Easttown, you'll love this. This surpassed Mayor of Easttown, and I love that. But Task just keeps getting better every week. Check it out, folks. We are coming right back for Act Two. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. President Trump traveled to the Middle East today, where he declared an end to the war in Gaza.
This is the day that people across the region and around the world have been working, striving, hoping, and praying for.
Hamas released the living hostages it was holding in Gaza. CBS's Deborah Pata.
As the hostages were driven into Israel, people lined the streets to welcome them. And here in Hostage Square, jubilation.
While many were celebrating, there are some tough days ahead. Reporter Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
It's caused deep, deep wounds. For instance, Israelis are very skeptical about the possibility of peace with the Palestinians. We have a ceasefire. President Trump was talking about peace. I think Israelis are skeptical about peace. And then, of course, on